serving Southern California from Pasadena.
K-R-L-A.
Good evening. Hello. This is Derek Taylor, you see, so don't move. Stay where you are on this channel and we'll have some fun. Fun's the thing this year, you see. I mean, hard work's fine, we must do that, but we've got to have some fun. So this radio we're trying to do here is for fun. We want to make you laugh, and we want to make you cry, because it's good. Have you ever really cried freely? Let it roll. It's so much. It's too much. It's really marvelous. I'm sorry about, you know, the whiter shade of pale. It's interrupting a record is a rotten thing to do. Because it's exercising power arrogantly, but the record's still there, and it'll be okay. And Mick Jagger's in town, Donovan's here. I think that's about it for news. Oh, Beethoven, it's been decided, was the greatest composer who ever lived. Previously, it was thought to be Bach, and there was a lobby for Mozart, but that's over now. Elvis Presley will be giving us a few words, I hope, later, because hardly anything's heard about Elvis, you know, apart from the movies, which of course are wonderful, and it is a great treat to have three of them a year. Paul Revere is giving a banquet for 27 former Raiders to demonstrate to them what they missed by not staying with him. Frank Sinatra is 51, I believe, and I'm wondering what he learned. I don't know him, you know, I don't know people like him. He's not one of us, and I only know us, and we're trying to get very selective about who we know, which is not arrogant, it's just because there's so much hassling, you see, that if we can't make the bad people good, then they'll have to stay outside the room. So, what I'd like to do now, give us a good send-off, as they say. Here's the Beatles. That's a lovely Beatle record. You know, it's not really a case of working for them or knowing them, because we all know, you know, in New Zealand or Madagascar, they've just reached out and got us all hooked. Maybe not all, maybe that's generalizing, but they really are too much. There was always a thought that they may be more than just people, and I would go along with that. They're the ones, still are, and I hope nobody objects to that. I was really thinking I would talk about school, but I've no right since I'm, you know, not involved with the school system here, but I get very worried about the dropout talk, the sort of the identification of a dropout with a failure with lead boots on, that terrible commercial. The thing is, all you need in life is, apart from love, which again is a simplification, is some sort of skill or talent. Or drive, not to be successful, but to do the best you can. And winning isn't the thing. Digging things. I mean, the hippies, if I may use the term, say, dig yourself. Then that's the way to start, really. I mean, does LBJ look as if he digs himself? The amazing thing is that he actually believes that it's important that he's re-elected next year. Now, don't turn off. I mean, turn on. It's marvelous. It's getting better. It better be, because it's been terrible for far too long.
What was Hiroshima like, Jesus, when the bomb fell? What was Auschwitz like, Jesus?
Eure Heimat, den Deutschen Reich wieder zu geben!
That was Hitler, you know. I was privileged to be alive when he was alive. The thing about Hitler, of course, is that he's in all of us. But there's another thing, you see, because Jesus is there too. Now, what you've got to do is you've got to be sure that you don't give Hitler anything to eat. And then he'll die. It's very simple. I was wondering why so many people have their hair cut off as soon as it comes out from the inside of their heads, because, of course, they have the right. It's no business of mine. But it is strange. The thing is that hair is all very well inside the head. It's only offensive when it's outside. But I get about a lot in my job. You know, I go from Sunset Boulevard to Laurel Canyon. Sometimes I get up to Doheny. And I've never heard anybody say it was wrong or dirty to have long hair inside your head. In fact, it's considered very good to be long-haired inside. Otherwise, there wouldn't be such a fortune in making hair pieces. As soon as a man's hair becomes so short inside his head that it no longer struggles to get out, he worries and starts thinking about getting a hair piece because he doesn't want to be bald. But anyway, I said, it's okay. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's a laugh. Elvis? No, hasn't come through. Later. Laugh is a great Liverpool word, and there's not enough laughing. You notice in Paul's song, had a laugh and over dinner. It's a highly prized commodity, a laugh, especially in Liverpool, where you see there's hardly anything to laugh at unless you laugh at all the sadness and poverty. On Saturday nights, in the old days, the best night out was what we called a laugh and a shout. That meant sitting in the pub, all laughing and shouting, then going to the dance, laughing some more, falling over, bruising your knee, and if you could be sure that when you woke up the next morning, you could only remember a fraction of what had happened, you knew it had been a good night out. Now, the follow-up was on Sunday at lunchtime. By the way, you can drink easily and cheerfully in England at 16. 18 is the legal age, but they don't bother very much. So on Sunday at lunchtime, you go down to the pub again, sometimes with your father, you know, and his friends, and they all talk about what it's like being broke. Because in England, talking about being broke is like talking about being successful here. I mean, it's a good thing to be broke, because it makes you one of the crowd. So there you are in the pub, and you and your friends say, wow, last night. And then you say, I don't remember, what did I do? And then he tells you what you did. And then you remember what he did, and so on. So that's what Eric Burdon wrote the song about. He was a big boozer, Eric. Then he learned about other things, and he wrote the song. It's a sort of self-conscious dirt. I personally think he takes it too seriously. He doesn't laugh enough. Now, you know, the Beatles... music is applicable to many moods. There are people who say that nobody does the Beatles well, which isn't true, because I've got a few here. I thought we might start with this one. I wouldn't even tell you who it was, because he's so good and so distinctive, and I love him, and anyway, I work for him. And there's this other chap who also is on the same label now.
Close your eyes and I'll miss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, always be true.
And then again, folks. So Sergio Mendes came but shank, and there's another one.
It has been a hard day's night, and I have been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel all right. You know, I work all day to get you money to buy you things. And it's worth it just to hear you say you are going to give me everything. That's why I love to come home. 'Cause when I get you alone, you know I feel okay.
Peter Sellers. But you'd never have known, you see. What about this one?
I give him all my love. That's all I do. If you saw my love, you'd love him too. I love him.
Esther Phillips, that was one of the best things that anyone ever did to a Beatles song, and that's why they sent for her to appear on the show, which featured their music, and which was, of course, awful because they didn't have control. But now they've got control, and when they get power, that was okay. It was a nice version by David and Jonathan, but it brought nothing very new. The song, which McCartney did so beautifully, though he often sings flat, he's got it, hasn't he? Claudine Longier, A&M's loveliest artist. She's too much, too. Andy's wife. There's another one.
To lead a
slip that in for good friend Brian Epstein, because if he's not listening, then he's aware of it. That was by the Foremost, one of the early Liverpool groups, and the leader of the group, Mike Millwood, died of leukemia, and it's all a bit sad, except that you do know that that they're coming back, you see. That's the thing we believe now, that we'll come back, and we just have to think nice, cheerful thoughts so that we come back in good shape.
These friends and lovers,
Judy Collins, and I'm going to plug the album because it really should be bought by everybody who loves that sort of thing. She's wise and great and warm and humorous, and she's one of us, you and me. She's one. But in the end, you see, the Beatles' music comes from the Beatles, and there it lies and rests, and here's how they do it. That, you know, I said, here's how they do it. Well, George Harrison was asked the other day in Melody Maker in England, how do you do it, George? They said, what are you trying to do? You know how the interviewers are. So George says, we're not trying to do anything, you see. This is the big joke. It's Cosmic Joke 43. Everyone gets our records and says, wonder how they thought of that, or wonder how what they're planning next. Or whatever it is they say, but we don't plan anything. We don't do anything. All we do is just keep on being ourselves. It just comes out. It's the Beatles. All any of us really are trying to do now is get as much peace and love as possible. Because love will never be played out, because you can't play out the truth. But I know that whatever I say can be taken a million different ways, depending on how screwed up the reader is. The Beatles is just a hobby, really. I mean, it's just doing it on its own. We don't even have to think about it. The songs write themselves. It just all works out. Everything that we're taking into our minds and trying to learn or find out, and I feel personally it's such a lot, there's so much to get in, yet the output coming out is still so much smaller than what you're putting in. And it's the end of the quote. The marvelous thing about that is not only that it makes that sort of crystal clear sense, but that he uses phrases like the Beatles is just a hobby, because that's really what the Beatles are. And all the things they have and all the things that are envied by those who don't like them were given to them just because they were themselves. And all they've learned from all they've got is that they don't really need what they've got. So they're going on to other things. And we shall hear more of that, folks. Here's Paul.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. I've been out till 2:45. Would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
The song itself is absolutely original and charmingly done. The reason it's so well done is that he's the phrase is these days into it. You see, he understands the idiom, but of course it's not new, and he doesn't pretend that it is, because he knows where it came from, because he acknowledges it, because he loved where it came from, and we all did in England. And he's worth introducing now, and his name is George Formby, and he was too much, friends.
The laundryman in the shop with an old green door. He'd iron all day your linen away. He really makes me sore. He's lost his hat to a Chinese girl and his laundry's all gone wrong. All day he'll flirt, sort your shirt. That's why I'm singing this song. Oh, Mr. Wu, what shall I do? I'm feeling kind of limehouse, Chinese laundry blue. This funny feeling round me stealing. Oh, won't you throw your sweetheart over to my petticoat shawl? That it won't fit my little brother and my new Sunday shirt. I've got a purple.
Well, that was one of the great George Formby songs, and of course Paul didn't take a Formby song, he wrote his own, but Herman took another Formby song and did it straight.
I'm leaning on the lamp. Maybe you think I look a tramp, or you may think I'm hanging bound to steal a car. But no, I'm not a crook, and if you think that's what I look, I'll tell you why I'm here and what my motives are. I'm leaning on a lamppost at the corner of the street in case a certain little lady comes by. Oh, me. Oh, my.
I'm waiting for this message from Elvis. He's an awful drag, honestly. Okay, right now.
Come on, sugar.
That's just a rotten joke. What about hearing it in full? Abbreviation, but stay with us over the weeks, and we'll really we'll run through some things in full, and it'll be marvelous. John and Paul of the Fab Four, Mop Top, Shaggy Head, awesome from Liverpool pop singers group, made a record at Christmas with John, with George and Ringo. I don't do it again. I see how fluff there, you see, and he thought, because this is natural radio. Because that's how I reach you, you see, by being myself, by really being, by being me. So I have to be right. What if I'm not right? What if you don't like me? Well, it's a drag for you, but you will, you know. So they sang this, or said this, there's another fluff. Believe the fluff's in. They said this little thing on their record for their fans. And it's good.
Budgie the Bear and Jasper were huddled around the unlit fire in the centre of the room.
There are no more matches left, Budgie,
said Jasper.
Then buy some, Jasper, old friend,
said Budgie.
Make a list, and afterwards we'll go to the shop and buy matches and candles and buns.
There's no more paper to write on, Budgie.
No need to worry, Jasper. You keep saying to yourself, matches, And I'll keep saying candles until we reach the shop. Then we won't need to write it down. We'll remember.
We'll remember the buns, Podgy.
We both will, Jasper. Matches.
Candles.
Matches.
Candles.
Matches.
Candles.
Matches.
Candles.
So if your elected president and his elected vice president were to go to the store saying rats and what, sort of like that, that might, you know, because you can never tell, can you, what you can do if you keep reminding yourself of what needs to be done. But you've got to keep saying it. I'm running a contest for the best reddest blooded American patriot. George Putnam, Channel 5 News contestant. Bob Hope, man who sacrifices Christmas at home to be with the troops overseas and some of the best looking girls in the world, which is just a coincidence. George Putnam, Bob Hope, Billy Graham, or Pig Pen of the Grateful Dead. There's the choice. Send your entries to J. Edgar Hoover, who knows all about you. He doesn't know who he is, but he knows who you are. And the winner goes to the largest napalm factory in Southern California for a day's tour. Second prize is lunch at Tiny Nailers with Sheriff Peter J. Pitchers. Now, we're nearly through. But I want to bring you a voice, because the voice is important and because the man who had the voice is still here. And it's your late president, and it's painful to say late, Kennedy.
What kind of a peace do I mean, and what kind of a peace do we seek? Not a Pax Americana, enforced on the world by American weapons of war. Not the peace of the grave, or the security of the slave. I am talking about genuine peace. The kind of peace that makes life on earth worth living. The kind of peace that enables men and nations to grow and to hope and build a better life for their children. Not merely peace for Americans, but peace for all men and women. Too many of us think it is impossible, but that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man. And man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable. And we believe they can do it again.
Spirit goes on, and the understanding increases, and the awareness broadens, and it's all fine because we're all invincible. So we should end up, I think, we should end with the music of the best group in America, if they chose to be the best group in America. We'll be here again at 8:30, trying to get across to each other and experimenting and seeing how it goes. This is Derek Taylor saying goodbye.